This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
Scotty, do you have you got a story for me?
Kurt, I got a banana story for you. Oh, the headline, it goes a little something like this.
Oh, yeah.
New Mexico man named one of the world's dullest people.
You know what? His dullness surprised me. I'll give you that. That does sound a bananas. If I said something that flipped your world on its head, would you believe me? If I did blow your mind to a zillion pieces, would you believe me? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Bananas. I am Kurt Brownoler.
I'm Banana Boy number two, Scotty Landis. Thank you for joining us on the silliest little podcast there ever was. Kurt, we have a very wonderful guest today.
She is absolutely wonderful. Let's bring her right in. She is a comedian and actor. She's had great roles on I Love Dick, Transparent, and currently Freeform's Good Trouble. Please welcome the very funny Sherry Cola.
Yo, right. Hello, Kurt and Scotty.
Hey, Sherry, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm really intrigued by that headline because at first I'm not sure if it's like New Mexico Man or like New Mexico Man, like someone who's someone who's like new to Mexico.
Here I am. Yeah, this is coming out.
We know what the old Mexico Man is doing, but what is the New Mexico Man? Who is dull
right.
there?
Yeah, he was born 55 years old. He came out of the womb. He's had a little suit on.
It's the old Mexico Man, you know, gave up his throne, and he's been replaced by the New Mexico Man.
Honestly, Sherry, your story. I like your story better, but this one's pretty solid. I'll tell you guys about it.
Okay.
So this one was sent in by Alex Thames. Thank you so much, Alex. And it's from, I didn't get this until I typed it out, but it's from KRQE New Mexico, the radio station. So Kirky.
Kirky.
Oh, Kirky.
Kirky.
Oh, right. Kirky. Of course. Kirky.
Kirky, and it was written by the one and only Francesca Washington. She's just
best in the biz.
She's the best in the business. Best in the biz.
Oh,
okay, New Mexico man.
Love Francesca.
You'd love her. Who doesn't love Francesca? New Mexico man. So a man from the state of New Mexico has been named one of the world's dullest people. A New Mexico man with an unusual hobby has been named one of the world's dullest people by experts on all things ordinary. You live your whole life hoping something, hoping to achieve something, and finally I've achieved something, says Johnny Meyer. What Meyer has managed to achieve is anything but interesting. Quote, the dullest man, I am one of the dullest men in the world, Meyer says. He is a gas station memorabilia collector and one of 12 people around the world selected by the Dull Men's Club as the world's dull. Yeah, I didn't know the Dull Men's Club was. I met some of them, but I didn't know.
That they were proud of it.
Yeah. So he was selected for this year's 2021 calendar. Albertina Rizzo, a repeat guest and one of our best friends. Albertina, you're going to have to get this calendar. See, Johnny's boring, but he's gracious. He says, when I look at the crowd that I'm a part of, wow, I'm so impressed with the other folks, with the other dull people. Man, if we could all get together in the same room, that would be something. Yeah, that would be dull. So Meyer owns and operates a classical gas museum in Embudo, New Mexico. He says he's been a collector of gas station memorabilia for about 20 years.
Does it show what gas station memorabilia is?
I think it's like signs.
Are they just like candy
I think it's like
pops?
Signs and pumps.
Like,
like,
oh,
little Hess trucks.
Oh, right, right. That stuff. Well, that is very boring.
The thing is, does that sound boring or is that actually exciting? Because there's some type of like passion. I
right.
personally don't have any type of like collectibles passion, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
No.
And gas station memorabilia is more interesting than somebody's like, I collect samples of soil and dry dirt and true. I organize them by color. And you're like, oh, I'm leaving this conversation immediately.
A paleontologist is what we're coming for, paleontologists.
Guys, yeah. if you guys love collectible gas station stuff, I've got a restaurant for you. It's called TJI Fridays. You guys are going to fucking flip your lid when you walk into this place.
Old license plate.
Oh,
I'm just, and I mean, I'm so intrigued by Dull Men's Club.
Yes, I looked it up.
Yes.
I looked it up. It is like, I'm trying to figure out what it is. It says the life-changing magic of simple, everyday, run-of-the-mill things, quote, the new normal. And it's just a bunch of, Steve Resniak. This is an article. Cacti, fun to watch grow. They grow so slowly.
What?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I feel like, is that dull? What is even the definition of dull at this point, right? Because they are doing things.
Yes.
They're doing stuff that's so niche. And for me, niche is not boring.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
I agree.
There's another article here that's it's just a very stern looking man in front of a telephone telephone pole, and it just says Telegraph Pole Appreciation Society, Martin Evans. This guy just loves telephone poles, or I guess telegraph poles.
They pretty much just appreciate the little things in life.
I guess so. Yeah, that's like their deal.
Right. They have a passion about other things that other people probably find boring, including... Meyer says the Dull Men's Club co-founder stopped in after a Colorado rug dealer told him about his museum. I didn't know there was a Dull Men's Club, and I didn't know how many of us there really were, says Meyer. But he hopes his new mundane title will inspire others to embrace their dullness. Quote, you need to step back from some of that bright, shiny stuff. And I think the closer you get to dullness, the closer you get to enlightenment. And the final thing here is the Dull Men's Calendar, Bananimals, you must get this, is available on Amazon. You've heard of it. You've used it. For only $15.
Oh, that's great.
You must.
That's kind of expensive.
for obviously
it's like $1.25 a month.
I'm just looking at their website. They have an event listed that's just Bubble Wrap Appreciation Day.
I'm starting to love their lifestyle.
I'm kind of into this now. Mm-hmm. This is really great.
Yeah. Well, my question is: Are these dull men in a relationship? Like, are they like? Do they have wives that are like dull?
Probably.
Dull, you know what I mean?
They're probably dads.
Men wives.
Yeah, they're probably dads, and they've gotten to a point in their life where all of their friends have fallen off, and they have not kept up their friendships. They're about 48 years old, and now they've just found this like small piece of thing, piece of real estate that they call their own, and it's just cacti's or fucking telegraph poles
and bubble wrap
and bubble wrap.
I mean, my whole thing is like, first of all, why is there no reality show about this?
No shit,
right?
Yes.
Like the 90 Day Fiancés, I've had enough. I want Dull Men fucking support group wives.
Yeah. Put it on PBS.
I want the wives of the Dull Men. Yes. I want that narrative. I want
perspective. The Real Housewives of Dull Men.
Yes. Yo.
They're just asleep.
Oh my goodness. That's hilarious.
They must have a lot of free time, you know? They're out there doing their thing while these men are just, you know, growing cacti.
It's fascinating. I want to watch cacti grow. Like, I feel like my life actually isn't that exciting compared to them.
Right. That's right. I had a driver's ed substitute teacher. So I went, I went to A1 driving school. There were two in my hometown, A1 and Elite. And Elite had, one of their instructors was like, assaulting people. So my parents were basically like, you and your sister are going to A1. And that was like out of the frying pan into the weirder frying pan. The the main guy who owned it was one of the craziest people I've ever met in my life. I've based so many characters and scripts off of him. But then he had this assistant that would come in every other class. And this guy was named Mr. Robertson. He was the most boring man I've ever met. He would eat Spam on white bread sandwiches. That was like his... While we were watching videos about like making left-hand turns, he would just slowly eat a Spam on white bread sandwich. And it was this rambunctious group of like revved up, horny 15, 16, 17-year-olds, like confined to this crappy little classroom. The only bathroom was like against the wall of the classroom, so nobody ever used the bathroom because they were you could just hear everything. So people would just like sit there nervously trying not to go to the bathroom. And people started to bully Mr. Robertson, but he was unbullyable because he was so boring that he never was affected by it. So these guys one day, it was like my fifth class, they were like, "Yo, can we call you Mr. Rob?" And he was like, "No, you may not." And they go, this other guy raises his hand, he's like, "Yes." They were like, "Can we call you Mr. Ert?" And he was like, "No, you may not." And then this guy starts laughing in the back, he's like, "Yo, we're gonna call you Mr. Sun." And he's like, "No, you may not. You may call me Mr. Rob Ert Sun." And then he just pushed play and went right back to it. Nothing could stick to him because he just never, like, he didn't wink. He didn't freeze. And I've always thought that was the best way to respond to, like, any type of harassment. You just, like, look at him like, "No.
No.
This is not affecting me."
He's Bartleby the Scrivener of driving instructors.
He was the best. I think about him all the time. I only saw him three times in my life, and 30 years later, I still think of the guy.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, there's so many of those like teachers and like instructors that you just think of and you're like, "Where are they now?" You know what I mean? Like people who like
still there.
Yeah.
Still I doing
true.
The exact
I guess you're right.
Thing.
I gotta go back and I remember I went to traffic school a lot.
Oh yeah.
Traffic
like,
school.
I got so many speeding tickets. I mean, goodness gracious. Like I was just like I lived at traffic school. But
where
I
where did
always,
you grow up?
I grew up in San Gabriel Valley.
Oh, okay.
When, you know, let's all
the
unspoken bad driver joke. But I just got like so many tickets all the time. No, not the Valley, San Gabriel Valley. So like
San Gabriel Valley.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Next to Arcadia, you know, I grew up in Temple City,
yeah.
Alhambra, that area.
Yeah.
A lot of Asians. But I always got like the thing is, I always got tickets for like not bad driving, but like rebellious driving. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like it wasn't I was bad at driving.
Like what?
Well, just like I would just like okay. There was this one point where I just got. I swear I got a fucking speeding ticket like every month. I got a speeding ticket on the way to traffic school.
That's great.
That's good. That's good. You should have just been like, "I am on my way to traffic school." Yeah. Did you tell
them? It was just so ironic. And like, well, I tried to kind of get out of it because I got pulled over and I'm just thinking to myself, like, fuck, I can't believe I'm literally on the way to traffic school. And this was like, I was probably like 20, 22 or something. Mm-hmm. So I just knew my mom was going to be so pissed. So I like got out of the car to try like convince him to like not give me a ticket because he was writing this ticket.
Always a good move. Yeah.
Right. But he was like, "Ma'am, step back in the car." I'm like, "No, but and never, I mean, I've gotten a few, to be honest, this was a long time ago. It's been a while. But I got,
it happens.
Actually, I lied to your face. I was going to say it's been a while, but I've gotten a tailgating ticket, which was so dumb. So dumb. Literally, I was like, I guess I was too close, but I was, me and my friends
well,
were
Sherry.
Caravanning. We were caravanning. Like,
how close were you? I've never heard of that.
Oh, my dad used to do it all the time.
So close that, like, I got a ticket for this. No, it was actually really funny because this was my first ticket ever. And we were, at this time, I still lived out in San Gabriel Valley. But there was this, like, hookah place in WeHo that my friends and I like discovered and like needed
amazing
to go
start.
To.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Amazing.
And so,
amazing.
So we all caravan to this hookah place and I'm following my friend. And I mean, listen, I'm like, it's my first time really driving out to this area, whatever. And I'm just following him close because I don't want to lose.
Yeah,
I don't want another car to come in between us.
Yeah. So or like a unicycle. You're staying close. You're getting in there.
I don't want even like a hot wheel to get in between
us. Yeah.
Okay?
Inches away.
So then I get pulled over, and it was really funny because me and my best friend still reminisce about this because she was sitting shotgun. And so I get pulled over for tailgating, and we're like, it's a very high, like, tension moment because I'm pissed.
Sure, it's scary.
You know, no one wants to trigger me because I'm the one that was driving, got the ticket, whatever.
You'll get out of the car. We know that about you.
Honey,
you'll
get out and face. I will. and I'll just completely abandon my vehicle.
Yes, you're out of there.
But it was funny because, like, I was getting my license. My registration, and something happened where, like, my dash, my glove compartment, whatever it was, like, stuck or something, and, like, my friend was trying to help me, and in that process, I completely closed the glove compartment on her hand.
Nice.
Yeah, the nerves cool, are chill. The nerves are up.
I just completely.
Chill thing to do.
Slam her fingers in the glove compartment, and we still talk about it. Anyways,
driver of the year. Driver of the decade, sounds like.
Listen, don't call shotgun, I'll tell you that much.
That's right. Curdy B, you got one for us, homeboy?
I sure do. This is a super weird one, a super fascinating one. I don't have a story to go along with this.
Who cares?
Want to explain this to you guys and to everyone out
Very
there.
Good.
This was sent in by Carson Cobb, who
Thank
actually
you, Carson
linked
Cobb.
To like a girl on TikTok who is explaining this story. And then I looked it up, and this is I found an article from The New Yorker from 2018 written by Ian Frazier. Okay. Title is The Maraschino Mogul. It is, as a typical New Yorker article, it is incredibly long and detailed and has
way
more
too
information
long.
Seven
than pages too long, yes.
But it is very respectful to the people involved. There is a little bit of sadness in the story, but fucking I will get into it. So,
give us the deets, baby.
This is what happens. In 2010.
Heard of it.
So first off, in New York City for a long time, Rudy Giuliani, the fucking lunatic, made it illegal for he was the mayor of New York. I remember being in New York City when Rudy Giuliani was the mayor of New York, and it was awful.
Yeah.
He illegalized dancing so that you could you could get kicked out of any bar if you just danced a little bit to the jukebox.
What?
He used it to like shut down businesses. He made it illegal to ride your bike in a group of more than like five people. I got arrested because I rode my bike as part of like a critical mass thing, which was like 200
Outrageous.
People riding their bikes, and I spent a night in jail for riding my bike.
Cool.
Rudy Giuliani's crazy. He also made it illegal to keep bees. So you're not allowed to keep bees in New York City.
We need bees.
In 2009, no fucking
bees.
Shit, right?
So yeah.
In 2010, they get it reversed. You're allowed to keep bees. So,
nice.
So beekeeping explodes in Brooklyn. All of these people are keeping bees. And they start noticing that the bees are turning red. And not only are the bees turning red, but the bees are starting to make red honey. And so
cool.
They call all of these like environmentalists in, and everyone starts studying the bees, and they're worried that like they're like getting into like antifreeze and stuff like that.
Sure.
But it was also the hottest year of the record in 2010.
Oh, good.
And what had happened was everything had dried up. All the vegetation had dried up. So all these bees were coming to Red Hook, to a maraschino cherry factory, and then drinking the maraschino juice that was like coming out of the buckets that were there. So, New York Times picks this up. They do a story on the red bees of Brooklyn. Everybody's fucking fascinated. It takes off. So that cracks up some like interest in the maraschino cherry factory. So in 2015, like they keep like looking at the maraschino cherry factory, and he like does all this stuff to like take care of the problem with the bees. The problem with the bees goes away, but the interest, like the spotlight, has already been put on this factory. So in 2015, as kind of a follow up, as a result, because of these red bees, the EPA raids the factory, the maraschino cherry factory, for EPA violations, okay?
Like Ghostbusters,
Like fucking Ghostbusters. Like my classic joke, the most unbelievable thing about Ghostbusters is how much power the EPA has.
Apparently, they do.
Yeah, and apparently they do. So they storm this place looking for, like, environmental code violations, and they find behind like a closet of cherry jars what appears to be a fake wall, And then at this point, the owner of the factory, Arthur Mandela. Well,
he's freaking out. He's freaking out.
He's super freaking out.
Yeah.
He calmly walks to the bathroom and commits suicide. Okay.
What?
Yes. All right.
What?
Yeah. So Arthur Mandela, he had a gun in his holster.
Oh, a gun. Okay.
He commits suicide, and then they push through the fake wall, and they find Brooklyn's largest underground marijuana farm. Of like,
wow.
It was like 25,000 square feet, all run with glow lights and hydroponics and everything.
Amazing.
They found like 8 different like Rolls Royces. This guy had an entire secret life. His family had no idea. And so
I could see that.
And it all happened because of the fact that these fucking bees started turning red.
Like,
it is the craziest fucking story.
Wow. No, that is pretty out there. What?
Yes.
It
wasn't like the saddest part really is that like it was environmental. Like he didn't get busted. The family never got like in trouble for the pot. Like they obviously shut it down and everything, but they couldn't find proof that they were selling it, even though they totally were. And so he kind of killed himself for no reason because he would have spent like 6 months on probation or something like that. He only got in trouble for the environmental stuff.
Classic Arthur, so hasty, you know, so hasty.
It is
a visionary.
It's a visionary too, and also 5 years later it would be legal. Do you know what I mean?
Like yes,
right. Yeah.
I mean, I just so much to wrap my head around right now.
I know it is one of the craziest stories I've ever read. I encourage everyone to go read the New Yorker article, which is way too long.
How cool did you guys feel when you were 10 years old and you were at a restaurant with your parents? And you ordered a Shirley Temple, and it came with those two red, and it would flow down in there. Those maraschino cherries. Maybe
obsessed.
You got what's the other one called? A Jolly Roger or something?
Uh-huh.
But you get the
Roy
Shirley
Roger.
Temple,
the best.
Roy Roger,
the best.
And you just felt like you were having a cocktail with your folks, and you were like, you know, Dad, can I have another round? It's like one more Shirley Temple. You're like, you're driving, and then you moonwalk into the bathroom at Pizza Hut.
You know, I for some reason never had that in New Jersey. But my dad, I grew up in New Jersey, and my dad lived in Michigan, Sherry. And when I would go visit my dad, like my mom was a nurse, we didn't have much money, but my dad had money, and he had another family. And my brother and my half brother would always order that when we went out to dinner. And in my
Shirley
mind,
Temple.
I was just like, I could never do that in New Jersey. Like this is something only wealthy people do to get this drink. And then one day in New Jersey, I just ordered one, and it was like, yeah, of course, it's like a dollar.
Yeah,
it's a dollar.
Yeah,
25.
Yeah.
And I was like, I am rich in New Jersey.
Yeah, it does feel like fancier than it is.
Yes, it does feel fancier.
Like, it's just like, first of all, it's Sprite, and we're just adding more syrup. It's the cause of diabetes in this country, really, is Shirley Temples at a young age. I love maraschino cherries.
Good.
I mean, I'm obsessed. And I'm trying to think of like bees, like honey and maraschino sounds like a fucking dream.
Oh,
I know it
so
does.
Good.
It does sound pretty good. They say it was
what
a little
hell?
Watery though, because it was like affecting the way the bees make honey.
Oh, if it's watery, then I don't want it.
I'm out.
We're out. Cherries out.
I'm walking. I'm a walker.
Hey, Scotty, will you give me a tease for one, and then let's take a break?
I'm gonna tease you two. This one is not a news story. This is a story that I read on Reddit years ago that one of our Bananimals sent to us, and it's under the TIFU, which is Today I Fucked Up.
Okay,
that's a subreddit. TIFU, by enraging the parents of my girlfriend by pretending not to know what a potato is.
Oh my goodness.
I'm so excited to hear about this.
I know a potato is a religion. So
that's right.
You know?
We'll be right back. All the way around the world. Oh, 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 oh. And we are back. Folks, this is, you know what? When this comes out, the Bananas Live will have already happened.
Fact,
this is after the fact. But listen, please go to our Instagram, The Bananas Podcast. DM us your strange news. You can also call the banana phone. I will give you the phone number.
I'll do it right now. 213-214-7974. I've been getting, so Sherry, we have a phone. Mint Mobile gave Kurt and I a phone. And I leave it on almost all day, and anybody's allowed to call it at any time, and I talk to him for exactly 1 minute. I get something. There was a lull. I think around the election, people had other bigger fish to fry. But now I'm getting like 20 calls a day, and I got a great one from Northern Sweden, Kurt. They want us to come party with them when this is over,
yeah.
When the Great Quar ends. Joey from Wisconsin, the hops factory, called me again. I had a guy that went ice fishing and won last week.
He won
an ice fishing tournament. Yeah, it's amazing.
Wow.
So keep calling.
How fun.
I'm happy to talk to anybody.
What a boost.
Thank you for the
confidence.
Songs.
What a boost of confidence, because my phone is not that popping normally.
My phone isn't either.
Oh.
I got nobody calling me.
My personal phone, spam risk. All
it's
spam
dry.
Risk
yep.
all the time.
It's all spam risk.
Scam likelies. I've actually been wanting to like secretly change my roommate's like phone, like her mom's number to scam likely.
Good idea. I like that.
That's great.
A prank that doesn't hurt anybody. Guys, let me tell you about this kick butt story.
Yes.
So again, this was on Reddit. This is not a news story. This was sent in by I'm going to spell it, then I'm going to guess it. KEDIGE. So I'm going to say Khadij.
Okay.
How about Khadij?
Khadij.
Thank you for sending this in, Khadij or KED-EG. It happens. Today, I effed up by enraging the parents of my girlfriend by pretending not to know what a potato is. So I'm just going to read this as it was posted. I literally have thought about this for 5 years. Let me tell you that I have made a bad mistake this evening. My girlfriend, who let me tell you is only my second girlfriend of all time, said I am, quote, invited to dinner, unquote, with her parents. I was very aghast, nervous, and bashful to be invited to such a situation, but I knew it must be done. I met them nicely, I should tell you, and it started off in a good way. Apparently, this guy's a butler from the 1890s. I met them nicely, I should tell you. The idea slapped in my mind that I should do a comedic bit to make a good impression and become known to them as a guy who was amusing. When I saw that baked potatoes were served, I got the idea that it would be very funny if I pretended I did not know what potatoes were.
Oh my goodness.
I love this guy.
That would be funny. Well, let me tell you, it backfired on my face. I'll tell you how. So first, when the potato came onto my plate, I acted very interested.
That's so funny.
I showed an expression on my face as to say that I was confused, astounded, but in a restrained way, curious and interested. They did notice. And her parents seemed confused, but I didn't say anything. So I asked, quote, "This looks very interesting."
Oh, my goodness.
What is this?
I'm
and
dead.
They stared at me. And finally, her mother said, "It's a baked potato." So I said, "Oh, interesting. A baked, what is it again?" And she goes, "A potato." And I said, potato. Interesting. Never heard of a potato. This looks pretty good." End quote. And then they didn't guess that I was joking. They didn't see that I was clowning. And I thought, and they really thought that I did not know what a potato is. So I knew it would be very embarrassing and I would be humiliated, depressed, and disgusted if I admitted that I had made a bad joke. No, that's when you bail. By the way, aspiring comedians, that's when you bail. Just say, right. This has gone awry.
Yeah, I was just making a joke.
I am an idiot. I love potatoes. We're naming our first child Potato. So, what I did was acted as if it was not a joke, but committed harder to the act of pretending I didn't know what a potato is.
Oh, my God.
They asked me very incredulously, did I really not know what a potato is? Again, pull the ripcord. It's over. No, I said that I had never heard of a potato. I told him not only had I never eaten a potato, but I had never even heard the word potato.
Oh my goodness.
This went on for a bit. My girlfriend started acting very confused and very embarrassed, and by my, quote, fucked up antics, and then the more insistent I was about not knowing what a potato was, she and her parents started thinking that I did know what a potato was, and I had to commit 100%. When I would not admit to not knowing what a potato was, her father especially got annoyed. At one point, he said something like, "Enough is enough. You're fucking with us. Admit it right now." First time meeting your girlfriend's parents.
Oh,
this is so incredible.
That is so funny.
I looked at him and said, "Sir, before today, I have never heard of a potato. I do not know what a potato is. I understand it's some kind of food, but I do not know what to tell you." Oh, I'm going to jump to the end. There's a couple more paragraphs. But
oh, my goodness.
My girlfriend and the mother started saying to me, "What are you doing?" And my girlfriend finally left, went to another room. Finally, her father said, "Get the fuck out of our house." And I said to him, it was irrational to treat me this way because I had never heard of a potato before. Well, he did not take that kindly. Now, in text messages, I have girlfriend telling me, I've been telling my girlfriend that I really did not know what a potato was. The only way I can ever get out of this is for them to buy that I never knew what a potato was. I wish I had never started this, but now I can't go back. She broke up with me anyway.
Oh, yeah. No.
I support her 100% breaking up with
this guy. Of course.
Because at that point, like, there is what is at stake for you to just be like, I made a bad joke and then I tried to commit to it. You know, there is nothing at stake at that point.
No.
I feel like that's an invented end. I feel like
that
it's an invented
so
end.
Funny. What a masochist. I think he didn't want to be in that relationship. That's what I think.
Yeah.
He was sabotaging himself. No, if anything, it would have worked if it was not an A-list food.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Potato is like, just everyone knows what a potato is.
It would have worked with asparagus. It would have worked with asparagus.
Yeah, tough one.
If he went with chive. My question, so did they even start dinner? Or no, it was literally based on...
I decided to take a bite of potato, and when I did, I made a high-pitched noise and said, "Tastes very strange." So they started to eat.
Listen, I think this guy might actually be a comedic genius.
it's Sacha Baron Cohen. That's what it sounds like. Right. It sounds like Andy Kaufman.
Yeah.
The commitments. But also, like, you know, I think we've all been in those situations, too, where, like, you're in too deep. It's too late to turn back.
Yes.
Just like it's just close enough to like you could have gotten out of it like 2 seconds ago, but
absolutely.
I just don't understand why he did it. That's so funny though.
Yeah.
I have been in situations with people who are doing a bit where I'm just like, okay, let's just, like, it's been so long. I'm just like, let's have the bit end. Let's have the bit end. And the insistence to not end the bit.
Yes.
To me, is always like, you, it's an insult to the person, the other person. That's how I get angry because I'm just like, you're treating me like I'm a fucking idiot that I would believe this. And I just want to get past it. So just admit it. And when they don't, I'm just like, oh, you're a crazy person. Like, you need control this much in order to get out of this. You can't.
Yeah.
We have some shared friends that do that to the extreme. And there is a point where you pull the ripcord and you just stop. You just stop talking to them.
Yeah.
Right. This guy could have been like, these potatoes are great. I'm really enjoying these. I love what you've done with the place. The curtains are amazing. And suddenly you're talking about something else, but it sounds like you just froze.
Yeah.
Went for it.
Just going off of what you guys just said, like, sometimes people continue the bit. Sometimes I just want to have a normal, honest conversation, for goodness freaking sake.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
100%.
Like, because we're comedians, people just think we're on all the damn time. And I'm like, I just want to know, like, fucking Groundhog Day means. You know what I mean? Like, I don't mean like some, like, I literally just want to get to the bottom of something, and then like people just want to like just fucking joke around all the damn time. I'm like,
yeah,
it happens.
And it also
happens to comedians a lot.
It really happened. I remember there was just a section of my time, it was like right when I started improvising at UCB back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like we would go to McManus after a show. And it would be
a pub
bits,
in Manhattan.
It would
nearby.
Just be bits. It would be aggressive bits that were coming out of a sense of deep insecurity and everyone having to top the other one, to the point where I always would be like, I cannot take that. To the point where I was like, maybe I'm not a comedian because I don't feel this psychotic need to constantly to do the 11th tag on the dumbest joke that we did 15 minutes ago. Like, I just want to move on and actually have a conversation.
We want to have the last word, honey. You know, it's too much.
I got to the point where if somebody, I'm so sorry, Sherry, you go.
No,
right
I was just gonna pick your fucking battles. That's it. Pick your battles.
I got to a point when that one video of the wedding party that danced down the aisle went viral, and then everybody insisted that the wedding parties at their weddings did a funny dance down the aisle. I got to the point where I would text people and be like, I don't want to be a part of your wedding. I will come. I will dance all night long. But if you invite me to your wedding, you make me dance down the aisle, I will not come, or I will stand there. And then when they introduce, I will just I'll change outfits. I'm not going to. It's that kind of thing where you're like, it wasn't your idea to begin with. Why are we still doing this? It's not fun for me. And then I found myself like stuck in those situations three or four times.
Wow.
I think.
I've never
three or four times.
Had to do that.
It is a nightmare. It is a
nightmare
being a part of a wedding. And I will speak from like, I mean, I have this joke about like how at this point, I don't know what's worse, like getting like asked to be a bridesmaid or getting selected for jury duty, because I think I'd rather.
Oh, definitely. Bridesmaid.
You know,
definitely bridesmaid.
You're thrown into this group of strangers. I mean, it makes no sense. And everyone is forced to like just. It's too much. And, you know, I was never a part of like a sorority or anything like that. I mean, I have a lot of girlfriends, but it's a lot to turn it on. It's a lot to turn it on.
I went to a wedding in Ohio, and the photographer, I was in the wedding, but I wasn't even officially like a groomsman. My buddy called me. He's like, hey, man, like I didn't talk to this guy in like 8 years. We were high school friends and like we kind of lost touch as adults do. But he was like, it would mean so much for me to be a part of your wedding. You can be an usher. And I was like, I'm coming no matter what, bud. You don't need to make me rent a suit from Men's Warehouse. But he did. And then the photographer, we're all out on this dock over a fake lake near a fake wedding venue, you know, for the photos. And the photographers were doing all our pictures. And they're like, let's do a funny one. So I just stepped into the lake. And I stood up to my knees in a rented brown tuxedo. And everybody else was like, what the? And it, like, killed the mood. But I was like, well, everybody else was just going to, like, stick their tongue out or, like, lift their leg in the air or something. But I just stepped directly into the lake. And then I had to go through the whole wedding with wet knee down.
Okay,
but I was like,
you went for it. You went for it. You committed. It was like, you want funny, bitch? I'll give you funny.
It was my protest. It's like, don't tell somebody to be funny.
I'm like, let's do a funny one. I just punched the bride in the face. I just like grab her in a chokehold.
Yeah, have a live a little.
But that's what I'm saying. Like half of the time, like it's so funny because like I think about this all the time because like all my friends are hot, right? So whenever my girlfriend, all my girlfriends are hot, all my guy friends are hideous.
Yeah, that's how the world works. It's like sitcom living. Yeah. Yes,
yeah. All my girlfriends are just so incredibly gorgeous, and whenever the idea of the funny photo, let's do a funny one, comes up, I'm like, everyone's just like equally as gorgeous. Like they're just like they I don't know, they like wink and they wink.
That's
and
right.
Like, I'm like, if you're gonna go ugly, I want to see Quasimodo. You know what I mean? Like,
that's right.
I wanna see,
get naked.
Get naked.
Yeah. Lose your mind.
Show me your flaws.
Yeah. Let it fly. Slang
it. Goodness gracious.
I'm with you.
Do you guys want to hear another one?
Yeah. Cardi B, give us another story, buddy.
This was sent in by Sarah Anderson.
Love her.
This is from...
Adore her. Miss her, really.
I know. Or they.
Thank
or them.
You,
right.
Love
right.
she, they, them. Love them all.
This is from Paw Culture. Classic Paw Culture. This is our, we're always getting some Paw Culture articles in here.
Yeah, damn right.
This is written by John Kilpatrick, the Bee in the Bee.
Best. In the bee.
And this is titled The Weirdest Animal Laws in America.
Ooh, I love it.
You guys ready for some of the weirdest animal laws in America?
Yes.
I'm ready.
Here's one. It is illegal to photograph rabbits between the months of January and April in Wyoming.
Wait.
Okay, because they're doing it?
I don't know. I have no idea. It does not give any
reason. Do rabbits go into heat?
It's a 19.
That might be mating season. I mean, they're always in heat, right? Because they're always fucking. Rabbits are the porn stars of the, you know, wilderness.
Yeah, so they might they might not only fuck January through April. It says it's a 1921 rule still in the book. It shall be unlawful for any person or persons to photograph any of the game animals or birds of this state during the months of January, February, March, and April.
That is out of this world.
Isn't
That's
it?
That's bananas.
It's really crazy. And then it says, except in the manner hereto provided in this section, any responsible person who shall desire to photograph any of the game animals or birds of the state, blah, 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 may be payment of $5 to the State Game and Fish Commission.
Worth it. Worth it.
Is this
Wait,
like when
game
cameras first
mammals?
Came in?
Is that what you said?
No, State Game and Fish Commissioner. You have to pay him $5. That's a lot of money
Fine
in 1921.
Me.
In 1921,
yeah, that's like $1 billion.
That's like $1 billion
wow.
to photograph a rabbit.
A rabbit. Is it Bugs Bunny? Bugs Bunny in the flesh?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Oh, it was scrapped. You can, in Wyoming, you can photograph the rabbits. Another one from Alaska, animals cannot enter beauty salons for the purpose of hairdressing.
Whoa.
That's still on
Another
the books
one.
In Juneau.
They can't enter beauty salons for the sake of hairdressing.
For the purpose of hairdressing. They can enter as long as you're not going to dress their hair in the salon.
Oh.
But if you're going to dress a poodle's
reasonable.
Hair in a salon, it's illegal.
Oh.
Okay, I need
Sounds
I,
like a
on.
Union thing.
I need to literally English is my second language. So, you're saying an animal cannot
yes.
get their hair done essentially.
Right.
In a salon.
In a salon. Animals are not allowed to enter
That's
beauty
so
salons.
Fucked up.
Right?
Why not?
Why not?
How long do dogs live? Dogs live like 15 years. Let them do whatever the hell they want.
Yeah.
Like, feed them pizza. Like, have fun with them. They're dogs.
Give the Pomeranian some bangs.
Give it a perm. Give it some bangs. It's feeling unattractive. It's bored. He's married to the dullest man in New Mexico.
Yeah, exactly.
Let the Pomeranian have some bangs. It changes her personality. What else, Curtie?
It is illegal to sell a dog's or cat's excess hair in Delaware. Fucking what? It appears
That's
this law
weird.
Is meant to protect pets from people using their fur to make things. Ah, okay.
Like American.
Well, you know what's funny is, like, I feel like these laws were created because it happened.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, there really was a dog. Was it a dog being... exchange for cat's hair? What was that?
You can't sell dogs or cats hair, excess
got
hair.
It
right
got it. Like
there was a toupee run in Delaware in Dover
right.
in
basically,
Dover Delaware they were making toupees.
Basically there was a trap door in a factory in
yeah.
Delaware with just yeah. cat and dog hair
sweeping it out.
And then the last one, is illegal. There's a bunch of other ones, but they're not that crazy. Cats are not allowed in public cemeteries in Wisconsin.
Because of Hocus Pocus. Hocus Pocus.
Probably Hocus Pocus.
Hocus Pocus.
Probably.
Right.
Hocus Pocus.
Probably a witch law.
It's a witch law.
Yeah, that's
oh,
a witch
amazing back. Movie. Oh, is it
Jen
really?
D'Angelo wrote the new version. Yeah.
A
good buddy of mine who used to work on Workaholics with me wrote the new Hocus Pocus. It's coming out.
Wow.
It's great.
Hocus
it's going to be funny.
Shout out to Hocus Pocus. I the first time I saw it was in fifth grade. And I remember
great movie.
Like whispering to my friend Valerie because we watched it in class because, you know, Halloween, festive times. I was like, I asked Valerie, what's a virgin? Because remember, that yeah. was the freaking first time I'd ever heard the V word.
Right.
We're just in fifth grade, absorbing it.
She's like, we are. We are, though.
Yeah. We are.
Well, I mean, listen, Valerie was fucking. All right.
Okay. Call the cops. We got to call the cops.
That's the other V word, Valerie.
Fuck it, honey.
Yeah.
She lost her V card. No, but actually, it's funny because I remember back in fifth grade around this time, like, I had, like, cool friends, but I was never, like, sure. Like I said, all my friends have been hot since day one, right? So, I remember, like, there were these, like, scheduled, like basically everyone would just text. I mean, I'm sorry, not even text. It would be word of mouth that, like, oh, Valerie and David are going to kiss after class.
Hot.
You know?
Scheduled like, kissing, ooh. Always hot.
Yeah. It's so funny. This is not the first time I've talked about scheduled kissing this week, but it was like completely different scenarios. What the hell?
That's great. Yeah.
No, on a podcast, that's cool. Also on a podcast.
It's a pandemic. You got to schedule everything these days. I'll meet you by the mailboxes. We'll remove our masks. Three quick pecks. Masks on. We leave.
Okay. First of all, I told you about me and my landlord in confidence. Okay. Cats in cemeteries. Well, if anything, the reason why cats are banned from cemeteries is because if you see one, you're just like, this is too on the nose.
It's too on the nose.
Yes, it's cliche.
What, is this a goth photo shoot? Get out of here, cat.
Get out of here. I'm writing poetry and listening to The Cure. Get out of here. You know, I'm smoking cloves.
What is this, a commercial for Party City? Like, we get it. You know what I mean? I don't need this right now. It's so funny how, like, cats have that reputation of, like, being death-related. Black cats specifically. Yeah. I mean, how do you think they feel? There's a support group for that.
Yeah,
we've never done that story. I'm sure you guys have both heard of this, but it's like that thing where there's cats in nursing homes that like sit next to the people that are going to die, and then the next day they die. Maybe that's an urban legend, but I've heard of that many times.
Interesting.
It's also in the movie Dr. Sleep, but there was a thing where there was like cats in nursing homes, and they would like go into the room of the older people that were, and then the next day those people would pass, like they could sense it somehow. Maybe I'm gonna look it up.
Yeah.
Maybe this is an urban legend, but
I'm just picturing like an animated sketch world where when the nurse leaves the room, the cat grabs a pillow and
just smothers him.
He's like, gotta keep my record. Gotta keep my record.
Yeah. People 20
for 20.
Yeah.
This is how I eat, pal. Sorry.
Right. I got kids to feed, all right? TikTok.
All right, Scotty, give us our last one to send us home.
Let's bring it on home. Sherry, it's been such a pleasure having you on Bananas.
Likewise. The feeling is mutual.
Let's end this one fun. Sherry, when this lifts, where's the first place you want to hop on a plane and go on vacation?
To be honest, Shanghai. That's where I was born, and I haven't been there for like 10 years. And I used to go all the time when I was little. But to be honest, it's because I won't take five, for Christ's sakes, because, you know, I'm always working, and you know how it is. It's like, oh, if I skip town, Marvel's going to call me.
Yeah.
I'm going to be unavailable. Right.
And it also feels that far away feels like you are actually divorced from what's going on in America.
Yes.
Right.
Like, I remember when I would go to Australia, I would just be like, I am out of the world. Yeah. I am in another world.
I'm retired. If you're in Australia, you've retired. No, I have family there, and it's just so gorgeous, and I haven't really been back as an adult, so Shanghai. Revisit my roots.
Good answer.
Yeah. Nice.
That's a great answer. Curdy B, where are you going to go?
I'm going to Cabo, baby.
Oh, that's easy. That's 45 minutes away.
Spring break.
Spring break. All right. Well, somehow we can actually mash your two locations up, and it'll fit perfectly into this story. Woman chugs entire bottle of cognac at airport security checkpoint.
Oh, my goodness. I love that for her.
Victoria Bertrand sent this in. Victoria, you're wonderful. Your Instagram handle was so long, I couldn't see it all. So we're going with Victoria. You're the best. And this was written by the one and only, the legend, foodandwine.com's legendary reporter, Mike Pomeranz.
This is 2 weeks in a row that we got a Food and Wine article in.
Mikey P.
I subscribed.
Food and Wine is going for the strange news market.
Okay, so we're blurring Cabo and China here, which sounds ridiculous.
I mean,
but
the crossover you didn't know you needed.
It's obvious. Yeah. Honestly, gets me thinking.
We'll be in touch.
No one.
We'll be in touch.
Yeah. No one likes to deal with airport security. And there's sometimes seemingly random rules, particularly the no liquids rule. You can either attempt to pack the bottle in your suitcase, where there's a risk of it breaking. Baggage handlers are oh so gentle. Mike's, that's sarcasm.
Mike is really giving it. He's really explaining to us how this works. We all know,
yeah,
Mike,
he's...
get to what happened, pal.
Yeah, Mike, just tell the story, homeboy. Or you get caught with security and have to throw it out. It can make air travel so much more frustrating. But let me tell you a story. That chugging a bottle of cognac is far from a sensible way to show your displeasure. A woman in China was stopped at the Beijing Capital International Airport after security found she was carrying a bottle of Remy Martin XO Excellence in her hand luggage that she had purchased earlier at an airport in the United States. When told she wouldn't be able to bring the $200 bottle of cognac on her flight to Wenzhou, the enthusiastic but hasty drinker decided to chug the entire bottle right there instead.
Just the
this is how we
way
win,
to
folks.
Enjoy
honestly,
a $200 bottle of liquor.
I'm just, first of all, I'm sorry, is this story
yes.
done?
Oh, no, no, please, oh, yeah. hop in, no.
I just want to say that Asians are very known for, okay, I can't speak for every Asian, at least everyone in my family. Very known for like trying to smuggle as many of those kind of goods.
Really?
Like, I'm talking cartons of cigarettes. just packs and packs of dried squid.
Yes.
These goods that like seem to be like, you know, unobtainable overseas.
Right.
Duty-free
squid.
Ooh. On top of that, like we also don't like to waste. So she's like very on brand. It's extremely on brand. Because most of the time they don't check. Well, I mean, with liquid, it's a little tricky. My family has gotten like just pounds of seaweed. I mean, so we're talking like, just
really?
The most ridiculous like foods that are delicious.
This is such good intel.
Can only be found in China. Or it's cheaper in China. I think that's what it is. Sometimes it's cheaper in China, so then they want to bring it here. Or vice versa, it's cheaper at the airport, LAX. For example, the cigarettes, the no duty or duty free, whatever.
Right.
We would get all of these American cigarettes and bring it back to my uncle's.
Amazing.
Just for them to smoke it all in front of us. Can you imagine
amazing.
The cigarettes though? Like if my mom and I are at the airport and they open a bag of cigarettes.
All right. She's 12.
So we're just having to force to smoke it all at TSA. But this is so funny because I'm also picturing the rest of the people in line at TSA just rooting
for
her on.
Sure.
Chug, 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 chug.
Oh, it's the best. So this is what happens.
What happens? What happens?
So the enthusiastic drinker decides to chug the entire bottle at security instead. Needless to say, the lady quickly became intoxicated, so much so that she wasn't allowed to board the flight. The cognac lover began shouting before falling and rolling on the terminal floor. A local police officer was quoted as saying, quote, "She was so drunk, she couldn't even stand up. We tried to take her to a room. She couldn't get there. So we put her in a wheelchair so she could rest. Rest
oh
is important.
Goodness.
After chugging hard liquor can be tiring." Again.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I mean,
Mike,
she should have prepared
it
for
on
this.
Thick.
She should have prepared for this. She should have had Pepsi AC.
Yes.
You know about Pepsi AC?
And cheers.
Club. Oh, yeah.
And a baguette.
You know, yeah.
Just a whole Chinese baguette. Those famous Chinese baguettes.
Now I just really want rights to this article so I can be her in the biopic. I want to play her in this biopic.
I mean, it is actually a good beginning to kind of like a hangover-esque for like just this lady.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the way it happened.
She missed the flight that crashed. It's Final Destination 6.
Final Destination 6. Well, thank you so much, Sherry, for being on the show.
Absolutely.
This was so much fun. This was bananas, and I adore you two. Thanks so much. Thank you.
Anything you want to plug before you go?
Please.
Yeah, sure. find me on Instagram, Sherry Cola, and also tune into Good Trouble, season 3 premiering on February 17th. And
congratulations.
Yeah, you'll be obsessed with me afterwards. That's a warning. You'll be obsessed with me afterwards.
I am. That's right on now. Freeform, everybody.
Yes, and Hulu. Yeah.
And Hulu. Oh, great.
Yeah.
Well, love thank y'all. You so much.
Thank you.
Bananas.
This has been an Exactly Right production.
Produced and engineered by Katie Levine.
Theme music by Kahan.
And all of our artwork is done by Travis Millard.
You can follow us on Instagram at The Bananas Podcast, where we post stories every day and things that we don't cover on the podcast.
Listen, subscribe, and please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast.
And if you're interested in advertising on Bananas, please email us at thebananaspodcast@gmail.com. That's thebananaspodcast@gmail.com.